Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, November 27th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is Peace in the Midst of Conflict. The gospel reading today is Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44.
It's Advent. The church season of Advent is the 4 weeks that precede Christmas. And if you notice, we're not decked out in a bunch of red and green. Instead, we've got purple and some stars and some dark blue. And some of the songs we sang this morning are songs about darkness. And we have images of night. And those first slides were images from the Hubble telescope, what stars look like in our distant galaxies. And then we sing songs like, O Come, Emmanuel, which are sung in a minor key. Wait, what happened to Joy to the World? Where's the Christmas spirit? So some of you may come to church and be a little disappointed that we're not there yet. Or you just might be confused and disoriented, because most of our culture just starts celebrating Christmas the second that the turkey has been stuffed into the refrigerator. And Advent is this weird, churchy, countercultural thing. One of the things about Advent that kind of always shakes me is how sort of non-linear it is. So some people are really logical, and you go, oh, first comes this, then comes this, then comes this, then comes that. I love that. I love logic. It makes sense to me. You form a list, you check off the list, you make the plans. But Advent isn't like that. Advent is this time where we're saying we're waiting for Christ to come. Okay, but wait a minute. Didn't Christ already come? Christ came, Christ died on the cross, we're celebrating his resurrection. But now we're back to the waiting part again? Well, and then Christ has already come once, but then we say we're waiting for a second coming? So wait, that happens again? What happened to my nice, neat, linear little categories? We're waiting for God to come, and yet God is also present now? Both are these things are here and true at the same time. And Advent's one of those complicated seasons in that way. But then I got to thinking that really our lives are more complicated anyway. And so perhaps Advent is a more honest season. For as much as we're longing to celebrate the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of Christmas, what we see around us is all too often lacking in these qualities. And so Advent is about waiting and anticipating that God is bringing these gifts we need so much to us in Christ. This first Sunday in Advent, we welcomed in the candle of peace, and we claim that the Prince of Peace is with us. And yet we are also surrounded by the awareness that peace does not reign in our world. You turn on the news and recognize the conflicts around the globe, whether it's the Taliban in Afghanistan, the civil war in Syria, and the refugees who are leaving because there is nothing for them there. Criminal violence in Mexico, North Korean crisis, and territorial disputes in the South China Sea. And of course, the ongoing tension in Israel and Palestine, centered in that city of Jerusalem. The conflict in Jerusalem is centuries old, and it's not a city of peace. It's a city that has been conquered and reconquered. It's been under Jewish control. It's been under Assyrian control. It's been under Muslim control. It was contested in the Crusades. And when I think of the centuries of violent history in Jerusalem, it feels rather crazy and awkward to be proclaiming that peace is going to reign starting from Jerusalem. Because given past patterns of tension and war, I'm not seeing that peace is going to happen there. Maybe not in my lifetime. And when I visited there, that was often the sentiment of the people who were there on multiple sides. And so we can sit here and go, why can't they all figure that out over in the Middle East? But it's pretty messy over there and complicated. And so then a different default is to turn around and say, that's just the way it is. Shrug. That Jerusalem will be a contested city and a place and a hotbed of conflict. It's this kind of conflict that Isaiah speaks to. And for this text, for the prophet Isaiah, is pretty challenging in this way, because he speaks of Jerusalem at a time when Jerusalem was not within the control of the Israelite people. So Israel, here's your Bible study portion, is one of the major prophets. Being a major prophet does not mean he was more important than the other prophets. It just means he wrote more. So the major prophets, like Jeremiah, they wrote long books. And the minor prophets, like Habakkuk, you know, wrote really short pieces. So they're known as minor prophets. And prophet in the Hebrew language is nabi, which is not a prophet who's necessarily predicting the future, but more means a spokesperson or a speaker, and a speaker from God. And when Isaiah is speaking for God, notice how he's using the future tense. It's in the days to come, and the Lord's house shall be established. It shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. And many people shall come and say, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Isn't that a great image? Transforming weapons into agricultural tools. Maybe the modern translation might be something closer to transforming war drones into eco-friendly mopeds, or warheads into water reclamation systems. But what a vision. What a vision of people laying down weapons and of an enduring worldwide peace under God's guiding eye, where the memories of war will be no more. It's a joyful image. And it's an image, certainly not as it is now and not as it was even in Isaiah's day, but it is an image of the future as God's will. But lest we think that we're the ones that make this happen, it's not us rushing into this future. It's much more of God's future moving inevitably towards us. That the swords into plowshares comes only when God is the ultimate judge for many peoples, and God drawing people to God's self. Nope, we're not there today. But Isaiah proclaims it, and I preach it, as a vision for God's future for the world, where there is peace. Given this vision of God's peaceful future, those who God is guiding now are invited to join the journey, to walk first and to go towards that vision, or to be welcoming it as it rushes towards us. It's putting one foot in front of the other. But the hope is to live as ones who insist that peace is still possible and that peace wins in the end. Easy to say, hard to live out. When we look at those wars and global conflicts, when we look at our latest election cycle, it's hard enough to be peacemakers because of the chaos in our own immediate relationships. And yet, I would say that is our call, to be that candle of peace, that tiny light of peace in the midst of conflict, is our call and role as a church and as individual Christians. And we need the gift and the reminder and the vision of peace from God in our own hearts so that we can then shine it out in our dark world. Beating a sword into a garden tool is not a simple process. It takes work and shaping and bending and reforming. And perhaps that's the invitation for our hearts, that our hearts might not be pointy swords, but might be ones that nurture life in other people. I had the opportunity to travel to Bethlehem, and one of the treasured items I brought back was a small stained glass angel Christmas tree ornament. I treasure it not because it's the prettiest thing that I saw there, or the most expensive thing that I bought, but because it was made by Christians in Bethlehem out of windows from their church that had been broken during one of the intifadas. Or they gather up the shards of glass from the bottles that are broken in the streets. They buff around the edges, and then they lay the stained glass things aside, and then they share them and sell them to say, we believe that peace will come out of the brokenness. I'm impressed, too, by some of young children in the election. They've learned more about anti-bullying than I ever did as a child. And you can ask fourth graders who had watched the presidential debates and listened to the contentious words and the tone of those conversations, and a fourth grader said, I would feel disrespected, and I wouldn't talk over them like that. They could take turns and talk it out. And a third grader then suggested, well, they could shake hands and say, good job, nice try. That's what I would do as a leader on the playground. When I was growing up, there was a sense of boys will be boys. But these student leaders who are being trained as conflict managers and at peacemakers, starting at age 8, are learning how to make I statements. And being a peacemaker on a playground also means saying something when you observe someone else getting hurt. Peacemaking isn't passive. It's actively stepping in. Or it's saying to somebody who's having a tough day, come and play with me. Or come sit and have lunch with me. Because yes, bullying still happens. But I am hopeful when I see and hear of young people who can model this behavior. So much the bumper sticker I love is the think globally, but act locally. I don't expect us in this room to fix Jerusalem. Whew! People with Nobel Peace Prizes are trying to figure that out. Haven't seen it yet. But I can't fix Jerusalem, but I can start here. And we can start here. For the bullies don't just exist on the playground. Maybe you've run into this in your own household, extended families, perhaps around the Thanksgiving table. Maybe it happens on public transportation or in your office, or even just in the grocery store. So what does it mean to be a light in the darkness? What does it mean to turn swords into garden implements? What does it mean to be the one who makes peace in those places? Sometimes it means starts by making peace in our own hearts first, so that we're not so anxious that we lash out at other people. But some of it is being reminded that violence is not God's default way, but ultimately that peace is. So I invite you this week, as you encounter the chaos that exists, that is all around us, to breathe deep. Breathe deep that breath of God and shine out into the darkness with your own light of peace.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo at sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.